The daily graphic, employment measures have not worked. This is a new ESA report. It's on the front page of the daily graphic, stories by Maclean Kofi. And it basically says that government interventions intended to reduce youth employment have since 2015 failed to effectively address the issue. A report on the study by the Institute of Statistical, Social and Economic Research has established. You know, this is not just about government interventions. I think about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I wrote on Facebook, you see all these grant programs creating 1 million jobs, 2 million jobs, 10 million jobs. You go down to the ground and you do the analysis and you do the monitoring and realize actually a lot of the jobs we claim to create in this country are manufactured, or they are not created on the right foundation. So they are not jobs that last beyond projects and programs.
But also because we are not truthful sometimes.
True.
Because, look, if, so for instance, you're going to assess a grant, and as part of it, you must indicate the number of people you're employing and the number of people you're likely to employ with the assistance that you're going to be given. Now, people go in there and would tell you, I'm currently employing 5, 10. And by the time I'm done, I'd be employing, say, 20, 30.
Yeah.
Now, they would come back and tell you that we've employed 30 people. When they've not done that.
So a settings and packaging.
But that's not the right thing. I mean, a typical example is the one district, Planting for Food and Jobs.
Yeah.
So at the time that the former Agric Minister, Usufi Yakoto, was talking about 745,000 jobs, he was talking about the fact that if you have, say, a hectare could be, you'd employ, say, 4 people to work on that hectare for you. And I said, but I have 20 acres. That's about 20 acres. That's a lot of hectares. But guess what? I was doing that with about 4 people.
Do you know how they did that calculation? They take the number of fertilizer, they think they have distributed. You know, I'm saying they think they've distributed, because a lot of the fertilizer we used our taxpayers' money to pay for didn't end up with farmers. So on paper, if they believe they are distributed 600,000 bags of fertilizer, for example, they'll say every acre will take four bags, right? So a hectare will take about 10 bags. So for that reason, they've distributed enough fertilizer to cover these number of hectares, so they've created those jobs. That's not how to do things.
Yeah, so you see, and for me, that's the point. And, you know, so when you look at it, you say, oh, when I do the calculation, people would actually go there and make all these points. And at the end of the day, nothing happens.
Yeah.
I've seen, I mean, you get people calling you sometimes, come for a facility, oh, but this is how you have to go. They're trying to coach you. Oh, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. Because at the end of the day, all they think about is a justification for the facility.
Yeah.
So this is what we have done. So a lot of our figures are settings.
Yeah. That's problem. Settings. And on the government front, with duplication, you have yea, then you have yes, then you have this.
YEA is doing, they're doing these models. NYA will get into models.
Yes.
Then, you know, you have the NEIP, you have Maslow. And all of these things are aimed towards job creation. Unfortunately, all we have done is to procure.
Yeah.
And that's our problem. But I like what ISA is doing. I think it's the program would end on, say, Friday. I'd be there on Thursday to have a conversation about, you know, accountability and all. You know, these days I like accountability. So I'm going to have a discussion about accountability. Let me say good morning to Dr. Ridi Makra. You know, he's a very good friend of mine and my supervisor. He's waiting for me. So I'm saying good morning to him.
So employment measures have not worked. We need to have a deeper conversation about this and interrogate how we are spending, how we are creating jobs, and how we can maintain and sustain jobs. Now, more from the Daily Graphic. Government releases 25 million Ghana cedis allowance for assembly members. You know, that was a promise, and now it's been delivered. 25 million Ghana cedis allowance for assembly members. When is government going to release money for all the stalled projects and all the programs and other things?
Yeah, because the problem is that, and I just mentioned Dr. Ridi Makra, who was telling us one day that Professor Adams had defined politics as you know, winning political power and then deciding what the people would want. You then decide what the people want, so they maintain you in office and then you do it for them.
Yeah.
So the government has decided, and as they were campaigning, the decision was that okay, let's pay assembly members, let's say things that resonate with the people. And one of the things that, you know, the NPP did in the 2016 election, slogans. slogans work magic.
Sloganeering without impact.
No, because if you, I mean, in post 2016, if you asked, you may have heard Dr. Kwasi Oghabra when he wanted to be flag bearer of the NDC at the time. He asked a question that, what did the NDC promise they're going to do? He went to a place people didn't remember, and he said, "What did the NPP promise they're going to do? One village, one
constituency, one ambulance,
one million, a lot of these things." So that's what we're doing. But you ask, so the assembly member, is he worse off if you do not pay him this? Can the assembly member deliver if you do not give him this? What would it take the assembly member to deliver? What can the districts do to incentivize these assembly members?
And in paying these allowances to them, what deliverables are you expecting from them?
Look, look, I know people have made a lot of points about, you know, partisanship at our district levels. But you see, I have read a book by Professor Kwame Nahoy. He talks about elections at the local level. I think we've reached a point where we need to focus so much there. Whatever way we want to go about it, whether we want to make it partisan or not, let's elect our MMDCs.
Yeah.
Once we elect them, these promises will come from the MMDCs, and they would have to look for money to pay.
They have to raise their own municipal bonds, they have to increase their revenues, they have to
that
run
is it. Why must I, why must our taxpayers, I mean our taxes, go into all of these things? And they get there, they don't do any, they don't do much. All they think about the next day is to be in good terms with the party's the constituency executives, so that they are not told that you are hurting the party's
chances. So are you saying that your honorable assemblyman is not doing anything? They are not fixing potholes.
But I say
they are not ensuring development control. They are not ensuring good healthcare delivery and education outcomes in your area. They are working, Winston. Assemblymen are working. Let's give them money.
Sure.
They are doing a lot of work. Some assemblymen are working.
They're not doing much.
Without them, the assemblies will not function. Without the assemblymen, the assemblies will not function. They are working. Let's give them the money. 25 million Kwara is too small. Let's give them more.
Yo.
More stories from the Daily Graphic, Winston. We'll scrutinize government politics. Do you know who is speaking?
Who's that?
It's a Ghana Association of Fishermen and fisher folks, farmers and fishermen. They say they will scrutinize all of government's policies and ensure government does right by us. And the interior minister spoke yesterday. He says that we will deal with political vigilantism is on the center spread of the Daily Graphic. And more
let me just share that with you. You know that bit, I have the, we have the audio here, okay, because he's been talking about the Ayawas Ablekuma North election related violence. Listen,
why up to about 72 hours, we've not seen any swift action with regards to the other, unfortunate incident. Let me say that we condemn this in no uncertain terms. I mean, that's, for me, it's a scar on all of us conscience that as people having practiced democracy for over 3 decades, we cannot simply just go and have election and it will be violent-free. The vice president is leading us, and she condemned it in no uncertain terms. If you could even come to my phone, you'll see that same day I forwarded all the videos that I had, and I asked IG, what are you doing about it? I said, look, we have to review the cameras, we have to look at it from all the angles. He has sent the, what do you call it, the crime scene guys there, the ICT guys are all working to make sure that we get it. But remember, that officer is somebody that we know, because he has a number, he has a name, we know where he is, we know where we station him. We can easily go after him. But these are guys who commit this sin and they vanish from the system. But we have to, it takes time to track them. But assurance is that we are not going to allow this to go unpunished. Unless they flee the country. So long as they are around, they should be rest assured. They will have to, the law will have to take its course. Because we cannot allow this to happen in our country. And you can rest assured that, and I trust in the professionalism of the IGP and his team, that they are going to do a good job. So be rest assured that will be done.
Okay, so that's Mohamed Mubarak Muntaka, Interior Minister. It's been Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. What have we done? We've seen them. We've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we saw the policeman, we interdicted him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
How about the party elements? That one?
Yeah.
The police cannot arrest them?
Mm-hmm.
The police don't know where they are? Of course the police know where they are. They didn't just vanish from the polling stations. They were there.
Yeah.
They were there. And it didn't end there. You had the CEO of the Youth Employment Agency conferring the title of Flying Python on one of them. So if the police wants to arrest the people, they can arrest them. Sometimes, I mean, they should credit us with some, I mean, some level of this thing. You tell us, oh, we are working. If they wanted to, they would have arrested them long ago.
You know the truck I was talking about that took the thugs in.
Mm-hmm.
If the police wants to find the final destination of that truck, they can't even find it.
Yeah.
Don't we have cameras all over the city?
We do.
If you start from that point, you look at all the cameras around that area, you can trace where the vehicle came from.
Yeah.
And where it went to after this. The vehicles have number plates.
Exactly.
If the number plates were fake number plates, that's different. You cannot trace, but you can use the cameras within the city. Or the cameras don't function.
They function because the police are able to send warnings to people.
Yes, the cameras function.
Yes.
So if you want to work, we can really work. And Muntaka, I like him. I like Muntaka because he was once my mother's student. So I don't fight him giddy, but Honorable Muntaka, look. Asawasi, we saw it. We saw how you had to jump onto ballot boxes to prevent anything in that particular area and to get into parliament. You condemned it because it happened to you. You were slapped left, right, center. It's not like it didn't happen to you. You felt it. So he who feels it knows it more. And now you have the power to deliver justice, to restore integrity to the process. And you must do it.
Now.
You must not do it next week or tomorrow. You must do it. But you felt it. We heard the sound of the slap that landed on your face. You've demanded justice for years. Now you have the opportunity to sanitize the system. Sanitize it.
Great. So let's get into the daily guide.
Yes, but before I go to the daily guide, the Graphic Business Stanbic Bank breakfast is today.
Mm-hmm.
And there are details in the daily graphic. You may want to check it out, but we are bringing it live to you here.
Yeah, also sustaining on forest show. Gains, yeah. Business and economic impact. Now, RNAQ Foundation rolls out food bank project from the 1st of August. Opayado represents Ghana at Global Citizen Summit. Capital Bank collapse, Atuesian a scapegoat. That's according to John Appiah, and on the front page, and has been talking about, you know, the fact that that Atuesian received a finder's fee of 27.5 million, which he described as common practice for intermediaries in such transactions. And he's questioning the legal consistency of the ruling, pointing out that the then managing director of Capital Bank, who was accused of authorizing the 27.5 million payment, was acquitted, yet ASEAN was convicted for receiving same amount. And so this is all part of campaign to have Atu ASEAN granted presidential pardon. NPP bans campaign posters ahead of delegates confab is here. And BOG spent $1.4 billion on forex intervention in the first quarter, according to the IMF. And this morning, once the governor shows up, he's the chairman for the Graphic Business Stanbic Bank breakfast meeting. He'll be addressing all of these issues today. So you don't want to miss any bit of the program.
Yeah. Let's go to the overseer. NPA judiciary joined forces to crack down on petroleum sector crimes. The Ghana National Association of Farmers and Fishermen is also here. They've elected Michael Kwete Tete as its president. Ablikuma North, a wake-up call for Akwetia by election. This is Muntaka. So he says that they'll put all the measures in place to prevent what happened in Ablikuma North from happening in Akwetia. And Asempa FM's Ekosi Sen supports renal patients with 100,000 Ghana cedis. They are urging the government to absorb the full cost of dialysis care. And we strongly stand with Asempa in this call. We need to do that. We think that it's doable. We can fund it and we can sustain it. And whilst we do that, we need to also undertake a national campaign on healthy lifestyles and healthy eating, so that a lot of these kidney problems that we are seeing these days, we can prevent and reduce them.
Great. So let's get to the graphic business and looming crisis. Energy sector faces $2.2 billion shortfall. And we're told that the IMF has warned that Ghana's energy sector is projected to face a significant shortfall of 2.2 billion by end of the year. And the financial strain is attributed to mounting losses at ECG, a delayed tariff adjustment, and rising power generation cost. And the IMF's revelation has raised concerns about the long-term sustainability of the energy sector financing and government's fiscal consolidation efforts under the extended credit facility arrangement.
So what are the three reasons?
Delayed tariff adjustment.
Okay.
Rising power generation cost. Losses at ECG.
Rising power generation cost. Now we have more gas.
Yes, which will reduce it.
Crude oil prices have come down.
Which will reduce
it. So how is that rising?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
And then there is the ECG commercial and distribution losses.
Mm-hmm.
They have promised that they are going to work on it.
We haven't.
In fact, by end of year, ECG should come with an update on how their collections have been and how they've reduced those losses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's go to Daybreak. Daybreak, sure. Has Ghana Navy reinforced GPHA Navy reinforced strategic alliance for port security. Ghana Link is denying broken down scanners claim, and IGP restores justice in police service, promotes victimized cops.
The online news review brought to us by Zenith Bank. Zenith Bank, in your best interest.
And if you go to My Joy Online, no vigilante group can defy a determined police CDD, Ghana's Dr. Kojo Asante. I think that we all need to agree to change that vigilante expression to thugs. So no thugs can defy a determined police. We should not keep calling these people vigilantes. It's a wrong expression and it's a wrong definition of what they do. They are just thugs and criminals. They are not Batmans and Robin Hoods and Supermans and those people. They are just thugs, criminals. We should call them thugs and criminals. Afanya Makin under fire for strange elevation comment to Esikado MP over Zaneto is on the front page of My Joy Online. Ekwefie defied MPP orders. Now she apologizes over Ablekuma North rerun.
Now, did she defy the MPP's orders?
And the MPP said we are not going to go into that election.
Oh, okay. Now, did the MPP's national treasurer
mm-hmm.
show up there?
But if the hold party on. Says we hold are on. Not, and hold the on. Treasurer hold shows on. Up.
Did Kennedy Ejapong
yes.
support her?
Is he an hold on. An executive?
Did Brian Echampong support her?
Is Brian an executive?
Did Dr. Baumia, a member
of
National Council, support her?
But
oh no! I'm just asking.
Okay.
No, I'm just asking. Did all these people support the woman?
They did.
And yet she defied party order.
Over 700,000 CDs in donations.
Did they also defy party order?
Who said they were helping their friend?
Let's get to the BBC News. To defy party order. When some of them were at the meeting. Let's get to the BBC News. It's brought to us by Fidelity Bank. Believe with us. And Glyco, we cushion you for life.
Andy.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Because last year we did it and some people from ARB, Apex Bank won. Mm. If you see that people walking, you can't keep up, my brother. And you. And there's a 100 meter race. Last year, Israelite said that he was so fast, we should wait. When we finish the whole 100 meter session, the winner of the whole race, you know, he will come and race the person. By the time he came back, you know, now you're pong.
After Miss Bell said, bruh, lie in a song, Israelite's legs don't move again.
Oh, now you're pong. The CEO penalty shootout last year was also a big attraction as well. Several CEOs showing their skill. Oh, it was amazing.
Mm.
There's football, the mixed relays, volleyball, droughts, chess, everything.
And
a lot
a
of board games.
Office, right?
Scrabble. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you want to register your company for it, just call Sleving on 0540-106466. 0540-106466. Kojo, and just a big shout to a lot of the companies that have registered already. Very important to do this now.
Mm-hmm.
So Ayuda have come on board.
Ayuda?
As sponsors, mm-hmm. actually, and participants. Afriwara have also come on board.
Oh, nice.
Yes. The Game Energy Drink, they're produced by Piva Beverages.
Oh, Piva, the ones on my
yeah,
road.
Yeah,
wow,
your neighbors.
Yes,
yes. They've also come on board. We also have Christian Heritage University. They've also signed up already.
Mm.
Then... you also have Premier Health Insurance who have
Friends,
signed
you
up.
You know what? I'll
then
let you go through.
Pension.
I'll let you go through this
I'm
number.
Done.
Okay.
Then you have Access Pension, who have also signed up. So good. That's that.
Yes.
All of them have
We will come back already. To this list. The Bank of Ghana governor has just taken the podium and is about to deliver his statement at the Graphic Business Stanbic Bank breakfast meeting. So we'll cross over to the Labadi Beach Hotel to listen to the Bank of Ghana governor. And after that, we'll get back to the studio to wrap up on the Super Morning Show. Stay with us.
It's good we engage in the debates. And for us at the Central Bank, we encourage these. Yesterday, we had a good meeting with the fintechs that are involved in the remittance business. And I believe that that approach is more efficient. We listen, we hear you, and together we agree on the reforms. And it should not be top down all the time, but it should be consultative. Let me assure you, this is the approach we are going to use going forward. So more of these debates, anytime you put it together, we are happy to be part. Now, when I got in here this morning, somebody asked me, Mr. Governor, I want to ask you what you have been doing since you came in. And I said, yes, I welcome that very much. It's about 5 months now in the job. Remember, we came in at a time when the IMF program was actually, off track, virtually derailed. Inflation was very high, if you remember, over 24%. The exchange rate was out of control. There was so much uncertainty. As a matter of fact, when we had the first meetings with the IMF team, there was a lot of pessimism. There was thinking about, should we just cancel the program and start all over again? But we decided to take the bull by the horns. And I believe that in the last 5 months, we've taken some very, very major decisions. Decisions that underscore the progress that we are seeing now. And so therefore, there should be no doubt about sustainability. Somebody asked me, do you think you can sustain the stability of the exchange rate? And I said, have you read the background data? These things should be informed by the evidence. Everything is out there in our statements. If you go to after MPC, we'll put out lots of data. But it appears in Ghana, the way we form our expectations when it comes to the exchange rate is to listen to the Zamnaman man, is to listen to the Alaji in the corner. And I think that's where the problem is. If you have a country whose trade surplus has doubled compared to last year, if you have a country whose current account has increased from a mere $66 million last year to over $2 billion in the first quarter of this year, why are you surprised when the exchange rate is showing stability? And so my point is, please look at the data, the media. Focus on the data when you are forming your projections about the exchange rate or whatever variable. Look at the data. It's all there. But you notice that in Ghana, we say the exchange rate is going down. And so it keeps going. It keeps going. You notice that trend? And I kept saying that no. Allow the exchange rate to move. Today, it may rise. Tomorrow, it may come down. Because it's an endogenous variable. When it moves, it's actually protecting the country against external shocks. And so it must move. But it appears it's all about what somebody thinks, and then we all go in that direction. So tomorrow, the moment the Zamnaman man says, hey, the city will start appreciating again, then everybody starts liquidating. If there's anything I want you to remember this morning, is that tell people that these things are macroeconomic variables. They are driven by macroeconomic factors. So just look at the data. And we churn out a lot of this data. We update it all the time. Use that to form your projections about the exchange rate. And if you do that, I believe there will be no doubt in your minds. I have some prepared speech here, so I'm going to read through it. I'll give you some figures to underscore what I'm saying. But again, I cannot emphasize it enough. The way we are forming expectations in this country is not the best. It's all about what somebody thinks, what somebody says. It's never about what does the data say. And that's what I'm saying. If a country's external sector is so strong, why do you have doubt about the exchange rate? Right? The level of international reserves is over 11 billion. Right? Over 11 billion. It's now at 4.8 months of imports cover. And the press is arguing about how much intervention was done in the first quarter. And I'm like, they don't have anything to talk about? Talk about what the figure is now. You have over 11 billion, you know, dollars. You know, compare that to what it used to be. 4.8 months of imports cover is no joke. Under the fund program, we were expected to build up international reserves to the tune of around 400 million. By the end of June, for the first half of the year, end of June, under the program, we were required to build up around 400 million. But do you know how much we built up in that first half? 1.6 billion. So why don't we talk about that? But rather talking about, did we pump 1.4 billion into the markets? And I'm like, please, can we raise the argument? Can we raise the debate? It's about what it is now. And talking about our interventions, you know, many people don't understand what we do. We ensure that we are not using our reserves, right, to support the market or whatever it is. But you know about the gold for reserves program. Formerly, the gold business, for example, those export revenues used to accrue to commercial banks, right? But under the gold board arrangement currently, those flows are accruing to the central bank. So it makes sense to support the markets. Where is the sin in this? It's just we have to support the market because it's as though we've taken over flows that were going to the markets anyway. And so that is what we do. So my point is, look at the data, please. Read about our external sector performance. Look at projections going forward. And that should inform whether it will be sustainable or not. So permit me to quickly run through my prepared speech. Unfortunately, I'll have to leave by 9:15. I have to be out of here. But let me introduce some of my advisors who are here with me. They will stay with you. They will join the debates. They will join the conversation, and they'll bring back a report for me later. Dr. Kwachi is one of our advisors. Dr. Kwachi, you want to wave? Please acknowledge him. He is helping us on monetary policy. And then we have a member of the Monetary Policy Committee, Professor Texan, seated right by his side. We also have Mr. Belnyen. Some of you who have served in the industry would know him. Mr. Belnyen used to be the head of banking supervision for many years. He paid his dues, but we decided to call him to come and, you know, assist on issues about financial stability. Gentlemen, thank you for coming. So, distinguished colleagues, Managing Director of Graphic Communications Group, Chief Executive of Stanbic Bank Ghana, invited guests, ladies and gentlemen. I will begin by commending the graphic business and Stanbic Bank Ghana for yet another timely and thought-provoking edition of this flagship breakfast series. This platform has become a vital part of our national economic discourse, where ideas are tested, where assumptions are challenged, and where the policy-business interface is strengthened in the public interest. So your theme for today, that is sustaining forex gains, business economic impact, this theme could not be more relevant. The theme reflects not only the macroeconomic transformation that is underway in Ghana, but also the central question on many minds. And the question is, can the recent strength of the cedi be sustained, and how it would be translated into meaningful business outcome? So again, as I said earlier, it's not about the strength of the cedi, because it cuts both ways. Our objective is to ensure that in real terms, the cedi is not misaligned. So whether it is coming down or going up, we monitor what we call the real effective exchange rate. That is what matters. And at every MPC, the graph is shown. We, you know, analyze it, we scrutinize it to make sure that we are comfortable about the positioning of the exchange rate. So we don't just let it go where it's going. We are watching something behind it. So, colleagues, the Ghanaian economy has, over the last 3 years, endured extraordinary shocks. Shocks ranging from the domestic debt exchange program, as you know, all the way to global financial tightening and fiscal slippages driven by excessive borrowing. These events tested the very fabric of our macroeconomic architecture. As you remember, inflation soared, the currency weakened sharply, and public confidence wavered. But since we came, and through decisive reforms spanning fiscal, monetary, and institutional, we have reached a critical turning point. Today, the cedi has not only stabilized, and I did not say strengthened, stabilized, it has strengthened significantly, supported by robust external buffers, prudent monetary policy, coordinated fiscal consolidation, and renewed investor confidence. We now have to move from stabilization to sustainability, and from headline gains to real sector benefits. And that is the heart of our conversation this morning. So let me begin by outlining the facts. And as I mentioned, this type of conversations should be based on the facts. The local currency has appreciated by over 42% year to date, that is as at end of June 2025, and has reversed nearly all the losses that were incurred in 2022 and 2023. Our gross international reserves now stands at $11.1 billion. And as I said, accounting for about 4.8 months of imports cover, which is up from $8.98 billion at the end of last year. We recorded a trade surplus of $4.14 billion in the first 4 months of 2025, with exports growing by over 60%, mainly from gold, cocoa, and oil. And I must admit, given the vulnerabilities that arise when your economy is virtually based on the exports of raw commodities, then you have to take measures to protect against the shocks that could arise. And let me say that we are currently working on a price hedging program, such that even if gold prices ultimately suddenly fall, we are able to limit the consequences therefore. Now, the current account surplus improved significantly to $2.12 billion as at the end of the first quarter of this year. And you can compare that to a mere $66 million during the same period last year. On remittances, Inflows remain resilient, even though we have noticed some decline from April, and the Ghana's IMF supported program has passed successive reviews. As you are aware, the fourth review was just concluded. We have had our sovereign credit rating upgraded, which was very welcome news. We are sure that before the end of the year, there will be further upgrades, and ultimately, we should be ready to reopen to the international capital markets. Now, these outcomes represent more than just statistical improvement. They are a restoration of macroeconomic credibility, the kind that markets, that investors, and that citizens respond to with confidence. So, how did we get here? At the Bank of Ghana, we maintain a firm disinflation stance since we came in, raising and holding the monetary policy rate at 28%. We conducted active open market operations to absorb excess liquidity, and we enforced discipline in the foreign exchange market through structured FX options and forward guidance. One of the things we have introduced is greater transparency to what we do. And so for the past MPC sessions, we've welcomed a number of stakeholders from out there who want to observe what we do. And I must admit, what we do is highly technical. It's much more than a lot of people think of. And I remember the last MPC, we invited the president of Guta. Did I hear he's here somewhere? I'm told he's here in the hall. He was there with us. He went through the 2 days of deliberations and arguments and all the presentations. And then for the first time, he understood that even if we say inflation targeting, it doesn't mean we do not analyze real sector data. The name inflation targeting is actually a misnomer. It doesn't adequately capture what is done under the framework. We analyze all sorts of data. And if he's here, he'll bear testimony. At the end of the 2 days, we asked him to make a comment, and he said he never knew this was what, you know, took place inside our meetings. So we are welcoming more groups. If you want to attend, if you want to observe, you can attend. You can ask questions. You participate. The only thing you don't participate in is when the MPC members are voting to make a decision. That's when we ask you to leave the room. We are transparent. We want to enhance the efficiency of our monetary policy, and we welcome all manner of stakeholders. This time, I believe the Association of Ghana Industries are going to be part, as well as several others who have written to us. NDPC is going to be part. And so, if you want to be part, on condition you won't be covering the arguments real time, you are welcome to just sit in for 2 days and observe. Okay, so what we are witnessing so far is the power of synchronized policy execution, where the central bank's inflation targeting mandate and the government's expenditure rationalization converge to restore credibility, stabilize expectations, and anchor the city. So therefore, the result, a steady return of portfolio inflows, and we are observing that, a revival of domestic confidence in city-denominated assets, and we have officials from the Ghana Stock Exchange here to bear testimony, and we have an uplift in a number of real sector measures, the Purchasing Managers Index, our composite index of economic activity. They all bear witness to the fact that the real sector is equally recovering. Now, while the city's resurgence is commendable, it must not lull us into complacency. Sustaining forest gains is a far more complex task than achieving them. It requires anticipating headwinds, managing contradictions, and addressing deeply embedded structural challenges. So we know that there are risks. First, the risk of volatility remains real and persistent. Our current account and reserve strength are still largely dependent on a few commodity exports, as I mentioned, talking about gold, cocoa, and oil. These sectors are highly vulnerable to price fluctuations driven by factors beyond our control. For example, gold prices, which have significantly boosted our export earnings, are currently above 3,200 ounce, influenced dollars per ounce. And these are influenced by geopolitical uncertainty, including the recent Iran-Israel conflict. But while beneficial for now, colleagues, a future correction in prices could quickly narrow our trade surplus. Moreover, Ghana's import profile is heavily skewed towards energy, capital goods, and essential commodities. And this creates seasonal forex demand spikes, particularly in the second half of the year. So without diversification, even small shifts in global sentiment or commodity cycles can trigger renewed pressure on the city. And as I mentioned, we are entering into a hedging program to be able to stem some of these risks that may arise in the future. The second challenge, colleagues, is behavioral, and I spoke about that in my introductory remarks. Colleagues, we are still grappling with a deep rooted culture of dollarization. Too many businesses continue to price in dollars. In real estate, education, and luxury retail, despite transacting entirely within Ghana. And this practice not only violates legal tender laws, but also undermines confidence in the city. Even more concerning, colleagues, is the mismatch between forex inflows and domestic reinvestment. While export receipts have risen, a significant portion is either held offshore and not channeled back into productive activity at home. So Ghana's formal savings rate remains low, and our export value retention, particularly among SMEs and in the informal sector, is far below potential. Then there is the policy dilemma. As I mentioned, a strong currency improves terms of trade and helps lower inflation, but prolonged appreciation can hurt export competitiveness, make Ghanaian goods less attractive abroad, and slow the industrial recovery. And it's for that reason that we monitor movements in the real effective exchange rate, not the nominal exchange rate. The Bank of Ghana must therefore walk a delicate line, like we do, managing forex strength without over-tightening liquidity, which could suppress private sector credit and stifle the very growth we seek to encourage. This balance is not static. It requires constant recalibration based on evolving data and market behavior. And for us, we monitor these on a weekly basis. Monday afternoons, we have an economic policy coordination meeting where we assemble all the data. So yesterday in the afternoon, we had that. And that's how come on a weekly basis, we can tell you what is happening in the economy. So it's all about the data. It's evidence-based. So let's all base our projections, our perceptions, whatever it is, our doubts and our fears, let it be based on the data. What does the data say? Not what the Alaji says, not what the Zamanama man says, please. So, colleagues, it's not enough to stabilize the city. The real measure of success is whether we can translate forex stability into broad-based economic transformation. One that empowers businesses, creates jobs, and lifts the productive capacity of the nation. So let me offer four priority areas where the conversion must occur. First one is to strengthen FX retention and circularity. We must increase domestic retention and circulation of forex earnings, and we are taking steps in that regard to ensure it. Exporters should be encouraged, not coerced, to reinvest their earnings locally. Tax incentives, preferential credit access, and public procurement schemes can be linked to evidence of local reinvestment. We must also improve the ability of formal SMEs to earn and retain forex through digital channels. This includes fintech-driven cross-border platforms, digital trade finance tools, and transparent export documentation systems. If we empower SMEs to participate directly in international trade, we broaden the forex base and we reduce concentration risk. Second, Ghana must move beyond raw commodity dependence, as I mentioned. In cocoa, as we all say, we all know, it is time to scale value-added processing, the branding, and retail export chains. In gold, we must accelerate efforts towards in-country refining and bullion storage. And steps are on the way to push that agenda also. And in oil and gas, investment in the petrochemical industry is now a clear imperative. So beyond commodities, we must invest in non-traditional and services exports. Ghana has an untapped edge in information technology, in digital finance, in education services, in architecture, and in our creative industries. Lots of potential abound. With the right regulatory support and market access frameworks, colleagues, these sectors can generate stable forex, create high quality jobs, and diversify our revenue streams. Third is to enhance FX market efficiency. We must build a more efficient, transparent, and liquid FX market. And in this direction, the Bank of Ghana will continue expanding its FX forward auctions while encouraging the development of basic derivatives markets, markets that allow businesses to hedge currency risk. We encourage financial institutions and corporates to explore hedging instruments such as swaps and forwards to better manage forex exposure than we are doing now. These tools are not only risk mitigators, they deepen market sophistication and they reduce panic-driven volatility. And finally, we must actively protect the city's role in the domestic economy. In other words, we must support city dominance and de-dollarization. This involves enforcing our legal tender laws, and this will be stepped up by us very soon, especially in sectors where FX pricing has become normalized. That should not be normality at all. The ongoing rollout of the ECD will be integrated with retail payment ecosystems to ensure that even in the digital economy, the CD remains central. This effort started a couple of years ago. We intend to push forward the agenda. A number of pilots will be conducted, and when ready, we will announce to the nation in terms of our forward march. Then we are also finalizing a regulatory framework for virtual asset service providers, or what's known as the VASPs. This will bring cryptocurrency exchanges and digital asset platforms under formal oversight, aligning them with AML CFT rules and ensuring that digital innovation supports rather than undermines FX control and monetary stability. It is a fact, colleagues, that crypto is a big thing in Ghana. We can pretend, we can look the other way, but reality is that it's impacting. And so therefore, as the regulator, And together with other regulators, such as the Securities and Exchange Commission, GRA, and others, we are joining efforts to engage in regulating that activity and to ensure that the benefits accrue to us while minimizing the risks. A friend of mine said, crypto is like the air we breathe. You can't stop it. It goes everywhere. It takes place everywhere. And so all you have to do is to develop the systems to be able to minimize the risks and allow these to play out. The Bank of Ghana has played its part, colleagues, as I have outlined, and will continue to do so through sound policy, through credible regulation, and through institutional discipline. But sustaining forex stability cannot be achieved by the central bank alone. It must be embedded in how businesses operate, how businesses plan, and how businesses engage the financial system. We encourage export-oriented businesses to reinvest their proceeds locally, not just as a patriotic gesture, but as a long-term strategy for profitability and for resilience. Firms that invoice in cedis or adopt hedged forex positions are not only reducing their exposure to volatility, they are strengthening the ecosystem within which they operate. And such firms deserve recognition and support through access to tailored credit products, FX liquidity facilities, and procurement incentives where possible. Let me be clear, colleagues. The more value we keep within Ghana, the stronger the cedi becomes. And the more sustainable our macroeconomic trajectory, therefore. And so we want to encourage everyone. Let us embrace the local currency. If you go to South Africa, you have no choice but to use what? The rand. You go to Kenya, you use the shilling. We call it an endogenous variable. It is because everybody is running away from it. Everybody is taking, you know, investment decisions to avoid the cedi, and therefore the cedi will be weak. But if we re-engineer our thoughts, and if we recalibrate how we form our projections about the cedi, I believe the cedi can be as good as any other currency out there. For us at the Central Bank, we are celebrating the 60th anniversary of the cedi. There's going to be a launch on the 8th of August, and let me take the opportunity to invite all of you. It will take place at the International Conference Center. His Excellency the President will chair that event. Let's make a statement. Let's make a mark for once. When the first president of Ghana decided to adopt that currency 60 years ago, precisely on the 19th of July, 1965, what he did was right. He meant well. And so we invite all of you to join us. Let's make that bold statement once again. It's our local currency. It is the only legal tender. And so let's uphold that. So finally, as I said, we invite you to partner with the Bank of Ghana, not only as a regulator, but as a co-architect of Ghana's monetary future. We want you to share market intelligence that can improve our forward guidance and FX caution design. I was telling the group we met yesterday that my phone numbers are always open. Everybody has my phone number. If for any reason you need to whisper anything you observe, you want to relay to me, just send me a WhatsApp. I'll pick it up quickly. Because there are things going on and I can't understand. For example, the counterfeiting of our cedi notes. Apparently, there are foreigners who are doing this, and they are doing it among our own business people. They know them. And yet, people just look away. And I can't imagine how we tolerate that. So if you observe any such practices, please pass on the information and quickly we will engage. We want you to collaborate with us in building fintech innovations that support city-denominated payments, credit access, and cross-border transactions. And we want you to join us in piloting and scaling initiatives, talking about the ECD, which has the potential to transform our payment infrastructure, etc. So together, we can shift from a reactive posture to a proactive partnership where businesses help shape the very environment they operate in. So let me conclude. So in conclusion, allow me to once again commend the Graphic Communications Group as well as the Stanbic Bank Ghana for convening this important forum. Your leadership in shaping national conversations like these is vital to the health of our economy and the quality of our policy making. As we engage in today's panel discussions, I want to encourage all of you to be open, speak up, open contributions and bold ideas should come. And as I mentioned, my colleagues are here. They will pick up, they will sample all your ideas and we will work with them. Let us use this moment to forge a collective strategy for Ghana's foreign exchange future. A future that is built on credibility, built on capacity, and built on courage. So, colleagues, the CD is indeed rising. Let us ensure that our country, Ghana, rises with it. I thank you for your attention. Thank you.
That was Dr. Johnson Esiama, the governor of the Bank of Ghana, delivering his address at the Graphic Business Stanbic Bank breakfast meeting, which Joy Business is a partner of, coming to you from the Labadi Beach Hotel. And if you follow this address closely, he's opening up his operations and the bank to all of us so that we run a transparent system. So, for example, for the Monetary Policy Committee meetings, he said, if you are interested, approach the bank. They will allow you in. You listen into the conversations or the arguments. You see the data and the insights. The only thing you cannot do is to be present when they are voting. But you will be a part of the decision making. You can ask questions. You can give them feedback. He says that he's open to feedback. If you have any information, you can WhatsApp him. You can reach out to him. Importantly, he started by giving us a lot of the numbers. For example, on the Forex and where we are, he says that the Bank of Ghana is working with a lot of data and insights, and the decisions they make are in the interest of our macroeconomic growth. He mentioned the fact that we've grown our international reserve to over 11 billion dollars. That is about 4.8 months of import cover. He mentioned some of the conditions in the IMF program that they've worked to get to, and that one of his challenges was the fact that the media was reporting some of the issues from the first quarter of this year, but we need to look at the broader issues of all the work they've done to date and the gains we've made. He said that because the gold board structure is such that all the receivables come to the Bank of Ghana and not through the commercial banks, it is the Bank of Ghana's responsibility to intervene in the market and support the market. Because previously, the funds were coming to the commercial banks. Now everything comes to the Bank of Ghana. So it's the Bank of Ghana's responsibility to support the growth of the commercial banks and the market. And one thing he repeatedly said was that we should not take Abochi's comment and Abochi's insights as the market insights and the market data. So if the black market is moving in a certain direction, we should not be moved by movement on the black market.
In other words, speculation.
Yes. Because the BOG at the moment has the capacity to manage our monetary policy, to manage the forex, such that everybody would benefit. And he says Guta has been in their meetings. He's inviting the AGI. He's inviting the media. He's inviting all sorts of organized groups and interested parties. He mentioned NDPC, that we should work together in managing this. Winston Amwa is still moderating that event from the Labadi Beach Hotel. But we are here in the studio. Fentu is still with me. We'll go for a quick break. When we return, we'll give you more here on the Super Morning Show. Stay with us.